Thank you, Pastor Dan. Good morning. I'm going to just pray one more time. Holy Spirit, I just ask that your power would rest on us. I ask that you would illuminate our souls and our minds and our spirits. I pray that our anxieties and our worries and our other thoughts, our to-do lists, that you would just hold them at bay. Help us to enjoy learning about you. Help us to understand a little bit more about you. In your name, amen. Well, today is the body of Christ, and if you were to take some of my cells and put them under a microscope, whether it was a sleek muscle cell or a nice white globular fat cell or one of those long neurons of the nerve cells, you wouldn't see a cell under a microscope and say, oh, that belongs to Natasha. But if we were to take those cells and group them together and form organs and put those organs into my body, and then you were to see the whole full compilation of all those cells together, you would say, there is Natasha. And today, when we look at the body of Christ, we don't look at one person and say, oh, there is Christ. But we look at the combination of the entire church of God, both here and around the world, all working together, and we say, there is Christ in the world. When we look through this sermon today, I kept on running into the Holy Spirit. Everywhere I went, the Spirit was the one who built the body of Christ. And so I actually want us to start in the Old Testament, because I was running into the Spirit in the Old Testament as well. Just like the New Testament, where we talk about the body of Christ, it was a new group of people who had been called out of the Jewish religion, a group of people that were trying to figure out, how are we to live? This is a new group of people that have been called out of 400 years of slavery that has morphed and pressurized their culture. They've lived in a polytheistic culture. They've been told what to do. 400 years. That's longer than our country has been around. 400 years. This group had managed to live, and now they've been called out. And the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those books are the narrative of this group of people as they form their own nation. It's also the narrative of God saying, this is how you will relate to me, and this is how I will relate to you. In this narrative, we also see not the body of Christ, but we see a people of God, and it foreshadows what we will see in the New Testament. There's two things I want you to think about when I go through these various passages. If you take notes, you want to have two different columns. Is this echoing? Is it bothering you guys? It's okay. Two different columns. One is you are going to see a variety, a diversity. You are going to see people with different skills, different gifts, different personalities, different roles. All of these passages, you are going to see this. The other thing you're going to see is the Spirit, and I want you to pay careful attention to what the Spirit does in helping these people with their variety build up a body of people. In the Old Testament in Exodus, we have, first of all, Moses. Of course, Moses cannot run a people by himself. He at one point says to God, we have 600,000 men on foot. So, you know, this group of people was over a million when you count the women and the children. And so he says, I cannot do this. Aaron becomes the spokesperson even before they're led out of Egypt. Okay, is this now really having feedback? Maybe out. Okay, how's that? Better? Can you hear me though? Okay, perfect. So we have Aaron, the spokesperson, even before they come out of Egypt. Moses says, I can't speak to Pharaoh. And God says, okay, I will give you a spokesperson. Aaron becomes that spokesperson throughout the time. He helps lead, but he also becomes a priest. We have Miriam, the prophet, who writes songs and leads the people in worship. We have Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, who is a priest of Midian, who becomes a worshiper of the God of Moses. And he is the administrator. He is the one who says, what are you doing listening to line after line after line of people? Day after day, you're going to get burnt out. Start delegating. He organizes the judges. You need judges for this small group, and then to hundreds, and then to thousands. Then they come to you. Maybe our system was built on Jethro's advice. We also have Joshua the helper. He starts as a youth to help Moses. He is in the tent of meeting with Moses. He goes up on the mountain with Moses. He even, as an older man, is a warrior who helps and leads the people to fight the Amalekites. And in the end, when Moses dies, Joshua becomes the leader of the people. All people with different gifts that are needed for Moses to lead this nation. But we have some more in here. I love these other parts in here. Exodus 31. The Lord says to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs, to work in wood, to engage in all kinds of crafts. I love that. Artists, take heart. The Spirit of God can fill you. You too are needed in the church. I think sometimes we don't have a place for you, but we need to find a place for you. We need our poets. We need our visual artists. We need our creatives. We need our musicians. We need all of these people because you help us comprehend things that are hard to comprehend. You help us to see things with all of our senses. You help us to come into a place of meditation and worship. So I just wanted to throw that out to you, artists, that we need you as well, and that the Spirit of God also fills you. We have another interesting story in the story of the early, early people of Israel. It's in Numbers 11. They're complaining because they're sick of the manna, and they want some meat. Anyone who has a teenage boy in their house would understand this story. And I think last night I had people grumbling and complaining that there was nothing in the fridge. They're hungry, they want protein, and they're grumbly. And Moses comes to God and says, I cannot do this. How can I take care of all these people? And God says, okay, get 70 men. I'm going to divide up the work for you. I'm going to take some of the power that is on you, and I'm going to give it to them. And so they're gathered, and these 70 men come, except for two, for some reason, don't show up. Maybe they were sick. Maybe they were unclean. It doesn't say that they didn't show up for a bad reason. They just weren't there. They were left in the camp. And so the 70 men, the Spirit of God comes on these men who are going to be leaders, and they start to prophesy. And two men that are left in the camp also start to prophesy. And so someone comes running to Moses and says, these two guys are prophesying in the camp, and Joshua gets upset. Probably it wasn't how it was supposed to go. Maybe they had planned how the ceremony was to look. Maybe he was upset that whatever reason left them in the camp shouldn't have allowed the Spirit of God to come on them. But God does what he wants to do. And so these guys start to prophesy, and this is Moses' response. He says, I wish that all of the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. Hold on, Moses, because this is going to happen in the New Testament, where the Spirit of God comes on everyone. It's a foreshadowing. Before we can get into the New Testament passages of Ephesians and Corinthians and Romans, all of these talk about the body of Christ. Before we can get into there, we need to get into a little bit of the theology of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever had someone, you're meeting a stranger, maybe you're in an airport or you're somewhere or you're kind of sitting around and you're talking with someone and someone says to you, are you a Christian? I just, I say, yeah, I am. Oh, I just got that sense. I'm a Christian too. Has that ever happened to anyone? I love it when that happens. And really, it's the Spirit of Christ in me recognizing the Spirit of Christ in someone else. Now, interestingly enough, this also happens in the New Testament. When Zechariah, the priest, is told that his old wife Elizabeth is going to have a child, and the child is going to be John the Baptist, part of the prophecy in Luke chapter 1:15 says, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. In utero, John has the Spirit. Now, when Mary, who is newly pregnant, not showing yet, shows up and greets Elizabeth, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she gives a great prophecy saying, how is it that the mother of my Lord, she didn't even know she was pregnant, the mother of my Lord has come. My baby leaped with joy. It was a recognition of the Spirit that was in John the Baptist, recognizing Jesus, just like we recognize this. Now, how is this possible? How is it possible that the Spirit of God is in us? I spent a long time thinking about this because, wow, it's like I need the artist to help me with this one. I felt like I needed to sit by a lake for days and days and think about what does it mean that I, as a physical, spiritual being, have the Spirit of God in me, like really reality. This is not an analogy. In me. How do I walk around with the Spirit of God and not a part of the Spirit of God, oh, the full Spirit of God? And how is it that the full Spirit of God is in you and in you? How does that work? But yet we hit it again and again and again. When we talk about the body of Christ, we have the Spirit of God is in each believer. Ephesians 1:13-4. It says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. When we hear the message of Christ and we believe the message of Christ, we are given the Holy Spirit as a seal to say, you belong. You too are a child of God. Colossians 1:27 says, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. What is the mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow, we possess the Spirit of God. Now, Paul, when he talked about the body, it was before microscopes were invented. It was before people understood about cells, and it was way before we understood about DNA. But I kind of wonder if he wrote it now, if he would have included DNA in the analogy or in this image. Because it is almost like the DNA is the identifier. If you put my cells under a microscope, you could not tell that they were Natasha. But if you were to take the DNA out of my cells and you were to sequence that DNA, you would say that cell came from Natasha. When people identify us as Christians, what is it that identifies us? It's the Spirit of God. It's like the Spirit is a DNA not only being the identifier of people around the world who follow God, but also the DNA brings order out of chaos. The DNA says that any stem cell, certain parts of that DNA get turned off, and that's what causes it to differentiate into a certain type of tissue cell. It's kind of like the Spirit of God. When we get into in Corinthians where he talks about the gifts, the Spirit decides what gifts the believers will have and why. Is it for our own good? No. It's because just like every cell has to work together to form this body, So every person has to work together with the gifts the Spirit gave them so that we can have a healthy community. We can have a healthy body. All right, we're going to go to the New Testament, to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. We're going to start in verse 4. When you hear this, I want you to hear the Spirit, okay? There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. You just listen to the Trinity right there. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made of one part, but of many. I see and hear not only the distribution of many different types of gifts, and as I read that, you might have noticed, I have that gift. Or you might have said, someone I know has that gift. But I also see the beauty of the global church in here. When we lived in China, the first 2 years, we were learning Chinese and we were going to language school. And so we went to one of the official churches, one of the churches that the government approved of, called the Three Self Church, took a 40-minute taxi ride with our little boys, and we spent 2 years in Sunday school because we didn't understand the service because it was way beyond our Chinese level. So we all just went to Sunday school for 2 years. And eventually, by the second year, you know, we were starting to figure out what was going on. But it was a lovely experience to join in with the Chinese Christians. When we moved to a new city to work at a hospital there, we found that actually joining that church was a little more difficult. There's many rules for how religion can operate in China, and one of the rules is that you can't build a new church. So even if your church becomes overflowing, you can't build another one and divide. So our city of 3 million people had 3 Protestant churches and 1 Catholic church for 3 million people. Now, not all of them are Christians, but as you can imagine, the church was packed. Standing room only. It was just a really difficult experience with a family with young kids. And so we decided we would start going to the International Church. And the International Church was done in England, English, but there was people from all over the world. We had Australians, and we had South Americans, we had Africans, we had Asians, we had Europeans, we had North Americans. It was beautiful, and we didn't agree on everything. We didn't agree on some things. We had different standards of what we thought was proper church attire. We had different opinions about when baptism should take place, who should receive communion and who should give communion. But we did agree on the core tenets of Christianity. We agreed on what we would say is the creed that we read together. We didn't have a pastor in that church. We did not have an office staff in that church. If you want an example of the body of Christ working together, that church was beautiful. If you had the gift of teaching or preaching, then you started teaching and preaching. If you played the piano or the guitar, then by golly, you were on the music roster. We had people signing up for everything. If you had the gift of administration, then you were helping us be organized. It was not polished. It was not always smooth. but it was a community and a body of people who were engaged out during the week, and we came together to feed ourselves, to encourage ourselves. We were a community that desperately needed each other. That is the body of Christ. I see in Corinthians 12:3 where he says, "We were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Greeks." How polar opposite could Paul get? "Whether slave or free, we all come together." Listen, whether rich or poor, whether simple or brilliant, whether powerful or vulnerable, whether female or male, whether young or old, all of us come together to be the body of Christ. We need each other. We need the teens. We need the young. We need the old, because all of us contribute to the health and the life of this body. Why were the gifts given? I'm sure you guys have already figured this out, but I'm going to go through the passages just to show you that what you're probably saying is common sense is actually in the scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:6 through 7. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, every single person who is a Christian has been given a gift to help the health of the church. In everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Ephesians 4:12-13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Why? To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In Ephesians 4:16, from him, which is Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That is our ultimate goal. We grow and we build ourselves up in love together. Well, what happens if people don't use their gifts? Maybe they don't know they have gifts, or maybe they feel self-conscious about their gifts, or maybe they just don't have time, or they're burnt out, or maybe they're angry because they used them before and no one encouraged them in it. Well, if we have cells in our body that completely stop working, we're in trouble. One of the most common ones in our society are the islet cells in the pancreas. If the islet cells in the pancreas get wiped out, that's type 1 diabetes. The only way you're going to live is by injecting insulin. If the islet cells in the pancreas get worn out, then that's type 2 diabetes. And that still has grave consequences, and most of the time people need to use medicine. We have an immune cell called a helper T cell. This helper T cell is so vital for us to fight infection because it tells the other cells to start working for this process. If this one cell gets wiped out of the body can't fight infection, and people die of infections that we normally wouldn't die of. HIV is the virus that kills and wipes out the helper T cells. And without medicine that suppresses that virus, people will no longer live. In Corinthians, it says, 12:24, it says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We pray today. We prayed for those who are suffering. That is one way that we all suffer with someone. But if we have people who are not helping, using the gifts that the Spirit gave them, we suffer. And when someone says and is using and working in the area that they have been spiritually and supernaturally empowered to do it, we rejoice with them because it builds us up. Do you guys remember when it was COVID and we have what I call COVID church? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Any family will know But COVID church was when we showed up in our pajamas on the couch with the TV on. I don't know how many of you guys did that, but that was pretty standard in our house. You know, there were some cozy things about COVID church, right? You got to be in your pajamas, you could have a cup of coffee. But to tell you the truth, it was just a one-way thing. You know, we had a TV teaching us. In our society, we're often tempted, because we are so individualistic, we're often tempted to do church on our own. To say, I don't need a body of believers. I don't need to be part of this because I can just listen to podcasts for my spiritual growth. I can just read the Bible and pray on my own to God. I can just watch church on TV. Now, granted, there are people who can't come because they're sick. Even you who are watching on TV, we still need you to pray for us. We still need you to encourage us. We still need you, and then we need to come to you and encourage you as well. COVID church, as I call it, does not build the body of Christ. It doesn't help us to see all of us working together. Because how do we know if someone's suffering? How do we know if you're suffering, if you're away from it? And also, cells on their own die. But there's another type of cell that also hurts the church, or another type of organism. Because sometimes we have cells in our body that appreciate all the nutrition from the body. They appreciate take in all the protection of the body, but they don't contribute to the life and the health of the body. Those cells are cancer cells or parasites. We don't want to be those cells. We want to be cells that contribute to the life of the body. And so, what is my challenge to you today? My challenge to you today is to think of the passage that Dave read in Romans 12, where it says, if your gift is giving, then give. If your gift is teaching, then teach. If your gift is helping, then help. It's like the Nike slogan, just do it. You don't have to wait around. We need you. You have been given a gift or multiple ones from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has done that because our spirits combine together, form one body, which is the body of Christ. And our body of Christ is used to show love to each other in what we say and in what we do, not only to us in this little church, but to the global Christians around the world and to our neighbors. We are the body of Christ in our world. I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that in this great mystery that you have chosen to give us the Holy Spirit, that we would welcome the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show us how you want us to build the body of Christ. I pray that we would go out and build each other up in love. Amen.